Our scripture for today is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So blessings to you, Chris, as you bring the message, and for us as we hear.
Thank you, Sophia, for sharing that story. I think it's a good story that goes with my message. When she asked about putting papers in the waste can, I thought about just taking my sermon and throwing it in the waste can. But I think that God has given me something to share this morning. When Randy asked me, you know, a few months ago if I would share the last Sunday, there goes my sermon. It's good I put numbers at the top of the pages, or I would might be out of order. Yeah, when Randy asked me a few months ago if I would share the last Sunday in July, I did not envision at that point that we'd be outside as a congregation and have the right over here and the left over here. Depends which way you're looking at this group, whether you're the right or the left. It might be the right over here or the left over there. But whichever way you feel you are, the right or the left, it's good to be here as one congregation, as one body in Christ. I've not preached a lot of sermons in my life. This is probably one of the most unusual ones I have preached, where I'm looking, I like to have some visual, connection with those persons I'm talking to. And you all have these things on your face, and I can hardly see your expressions. And Dave's far enough away, I'm not sure I will even hear his amens, but I'll be okay. Okay, thank you. I need that. So if any of you want to say amen today, you're outside, and maybe you feel a little more freedom to do that, feel free to do that. I would say the most unusual place that I preached one time was when youth, Rose and I were with the YES program, and we were in youth mission in the Shetland Islands. And one Sunday evening, I had been asked to preach at a little church that in the Shetland Islands, there's no fences, and there's no trees. So there's this little church out in the middle of nowhere, and it's a rainy, cold, windy night. And we get to the church, the six of us or so that were on our team. And the sheep are just all gathered around the church. So first of all, we have to push our way through this flock of sheep. And we get into the church, and there's two people there. And that's how many people came that night. So I preached a very short sermon. So I will not preach a long sermon today. Randy didn't tell me that I could preach for 2 hours, but I didn't think I should. So Randy asked me if I would share a little bit on my retirement. How many of you know I retired the 1st of July? I am now a retired, but, you know, at Landis Homes, I find people saying, I thought you retired, because I'm now actually helping with some transports for Landis at Home. So I'm still going in a few days a week. Retirement was one of the biggest steps in my life as I moved from being committed to working full-time most days of the last 50 years. Now I feel like I'm on vacation every day. Many persons dream of retirement so they can relax and only do what they feel like doing each day. When I hear of their plans for retirement, it sounds like they're mainly living for themselves. God's will and service to others many times aren't even mentioned. I will testify, though, that this isn't the attitude I saw from those from our congregation who are retired, and also from Rose's parents and my parents. For myself, I want to follow the example of Christ Jesus and his being willing to give all, even his own life, in serving mankind. Each year, as we near the Easter service season, we reflect on the sacrifice Jesus paid for all of humanity. Not only did he die a horrific death, but we have his example of what it means to die to his own wishes and submit totally to God's plan for his life. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Philippi, as Neil read, "All believers in Christ should have the same attitude that as of Christ Jesus, who was in the very nature God, did not consider being equal with God something to hold up, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in humankind likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." To have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, we also need to humble ourselves and put to death our own sinful nature and desires. In a way, we need to become nothing to become everything. The step of obedience to God is the first and greatest step. This is why I titled this, "Except We Die, We Will Not Live." Jesus' teachings to his disciples is found in the book of John, chapter 12. "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The person who loves their life will lose it, while the person who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will honor the one who serves me." In the spring of the year, I always look forward to planting my garden. When the time comes that the soil can be tilled and the temperatures moderate, I take seeds and I bury them in the ground. And with the moisture in the ground and heat from the sun, they are transformed into a plant which grows to produce peas, beans, squash, and corn. If a seed was never buried, it would not be transformed. I guess if the seed would talk, it might say, "Please leave me in the bag with the other seeds. Please don't put me in the dark, cold ground. I want to remain a seed and not die, even though by dying, I might become a plant to produce more seeds." We might say the same. God said we have to hate our life. We have to hate our lives of independence, pride, and self-gratification, and die to self to be able to grow and follow Christ Jesus. Jesus gave us the promise that by dying to self, we will live in freedom with God for now and through eternity. The idea, my needing to lay aside my own selfish plans in retirement to be transformed to the will of God, will not be a one-time decision, but will require making daily choices to be like Christ. In the state of New Hampshire, how many have seen what New Hampshire has on their license plate? What does it say? Live free or die. As Christians, that should not be our motto. Our motto should be, die to self, live free for Christ. Jesus taught his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, "If anyone believes in me and wants to follow me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their own life will lose that life, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for a person to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul?" What is Jesus teaching us when he talks about losing our own lives to gain eternal life, denying ourselves and taking up a cross to find life? We need to first of all realize that our own self-centeredness way in life is not God's way. We want all events in life to give us happiness and comfort. We want to be blessed by God without considering that he may be first asking us to sacrifice ourselves so that we can bless others. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of a Discipline, states, "The obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society today. People will spend weeks, months, even years in a perpetual stew because some little thing did not go as they wished. They will fuss and fume. They will get mad about it. They will act as if their very life hangs on an issue. Frankly, most things in life are not nearly so important as we think they are. If we could only come to see that the most things in life are not minor issues, then we could hold them more lightly. We could submit to God and put these trivial issues to death. Looking again at Christ's call for his disciples to come after him to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow calls for death to self. Most instinctively, we draw back from these words. We are much more comfortable with a word like self-fulfillment than we are with the thought of self-denial. In reality, Jesus' teaching on self-denial is the only thing that will truly bring self-fulfillment. Self-denial conjures up in our minds all sorts of images of lost identity and rejection of our individuality. Jesus calls us to self-denial as simply a way of coming to understand that our happiness is not dependent about getting what we want. Self-denial is also not the same as self-contempt. Self-contempt claims that we have no worth, and even if we had worth, we should reject it. No, self-denial declares that we are of worth and shows us how to recognize it. Jesus said, "We will find life when we deny self and give all to him, not just for now, but for eternal life." The Apostle Paul gave his personal testimony in Philippians 3. He wrote, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have died to all things. I consider those things rubbish, trash, that I might gain Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, because becoming like him in his death and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." As we die to self, we are to focus on Christ Jesus. What is in my life or in your life that we may need to put to death? Many of you know Don Jacobs, who I consider to be a saint. I know that when he was alive, he would have been humble and told me not to call him a saint if he heard me calling him one. As I was preparing this message, I read Don's thoughts on dying to self in his devotional book titled Consider Christ. He wrote, and I quote, "I think I am like most people. I want resurrection power, but I do not want to bow as a sinner before the cross and die to self." Jesus was not a sinner, but he endured the cross. He knew that the only way to resurrection was through death. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. "I am prepared to work hard to earn my salvation, but I'm definitely unwilling to die for it. Yet that is exactly what I must do. In order to enjoy the salvation Jesus earned through death, I must receive that salvation in the same way, by dying to self. Salvation calls me nothing, costs me nothing. Salvation costs me nothing but death to self. That's a high price for humans for a human being to pay. I suppose this is why so few people avail themselves of Jesus' saving work. When we say we believe in Christ Jesus as our Lord, we must take up his cross and follow. Jesus said if we leave all that is important to us for the sake of the kingdom, we will receive many times more both in this life and for eternal life. In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate their own father and mother, their wife and children, their brothers and sisters, yet even their own life, they cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For Jesus to say we must hate our own family, even ourselves, sounds extreme. The word hate in relationship to family carries a sense of detaching oneself from them in such a way that they are not our first loyalty. Nor is it saying to be alive is our first priority. In other words, Jesus is saying that if I am to be a true disciple, I have a much wider horizon than my own security and well-being and even my family. We're getting a lot of interference this morning, aren't we? Jesus does want us to respect and love our family or ourselves as we are commanded to honor them and love others as we love ourselves. However, we cannot allow anything to keep us from bearing the cross of Christ each and every day. Lest you believe that bearing the cross of Christ is nothing but pain and suffering, listen to the words of the writing of Thomas Kempis, born in 1380. He wrote in his writings, The Imitation of Christ, as Jesus speaking to us. My child, you cannot possess perfect liberty unless you renounce yourself. Keep this short and perfect word. Let all go, and you shall find rest. Weigh this thoroughly in your mind, and when you have fulfilled it, you shall understand all things. I want you no longer to be a lover of yourself, but to obey so that your life will pass in joy and peace. You have many things to part with. Unless you wholly resign to me, you shall not receive the life for which you ask. Did you notice that when he said that when we obey Christ by renouncing ourselves, we shall have rest, joy, and peace? However, the many things we need to part with will take some hard work as we need to wholly resign to Jesus. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus tells us that what happened to some of the plants that were growing in less than ideal circumstances. We are told that the plants growing with the thorns are persons who allow the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth to choke them out, and they die without producing fruit. When renouncing self, we cannot rest in peace and joy unless we have a change of attitude toward what are our priorities in life. We cannot allow the American dream of happiness by getting more and more to choke us so that we will never bear fruit. In Colossians 3, Paul teaches us that we need to put to death what we need to put to death and what we need to put on to bear fruit in our resurrected lives. He wrote, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your things on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. What does he mean when he tells us to set our hearts and minds on things above, since we have been raised with Christ? If we have died to self, we should now be growing as new beings. Our old life is hidden or covered by Christ, and our new life is nurtured by the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In Romans 8, verse 8, it tells us that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. But the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit. Back to Paul's writings in Colossians 3. Paul wrote, "Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which has been renewed in the image of the Creator." I think Paul is trying to get our utmost attention by listing the extreme condition of what people are like without Christ, and what some people who may fall prey to what while claiming to be followers of Christ. He said we need to focus our hearts and minds on the heavenly and tear off the filthy rags of the old self and put on the pure silk robes of the new self. Paul goes on to tell us that continuing with verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God the Father, through him." When I look at this list, I realize what a wonderful world is possible if people would die for Christ and clothe themselves with everything new. If we put on these new clothes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and forgive as Christ forgives us, we will truly be Christ-like in how we treat our families, our church, our neighbors, and all the peoples of the world. We would truly live a life of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving. All we have to do is first die to self, and we would be able to fulfill Christ's commands, "Except we die, we will not live." Another fact of dying to self is God enabling us to bear fruit. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and we are the branches." God the gardener needs to prune us as branches so that we can bear fruit. Unless our branches are pruned, we will not bear fruit. We must allow God to do that pruning. What does he need to trim off in my life or your life? In the spring of the year, I pruned my fruit trees and grapevines, anticipating fruit in August or September. I don't give the grapevines a choice if they want to be pruned. But God does give us the choice. We can be pruned or not, depending on our choice. However, beware of the consequences of not allowing God to prune us so that we will bear fruit. Jesus said branches that do not bear fruit are no good in God's kingdom. By dying to self, we allow God to prune us so that we can have a fruitful life filled with his love and be able to give God's love to others. By daily denial to self, the fruit will form and mature and then ripen to enable us to bring God's glory in our lives. I believe bearing fruit in our lives is having the mind of Christ so that all people will be blessed by us as we live the fruit of the Spirit. If we do not allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, the fruit will never mature. In this time of extreme uncertainty, we as Christians need to live the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which can be interpreted as dying to self so others can live. Again, as Jesus taught us, the great commandment is to love God with all our being and to love others as ourselves. Whatever your age, if retirement might not be for 50 years, or you're close to retirement, or you have been retired for many years, it's still not too late to submit to Christ Jesus in the same way that he submitted to his Father by saying, "Not my will, but thine." For some persons, this might be the first step in receiving salvation, and for others, this can be a reminder to take up the cross of Christ daily and put the will of God first in my life and yours. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do want to follow you. We would not be here today if we did not want to follow you. But Lord, just help us to submit all to you. Help us to submit anything in our life that is holding us back from being truly fulfilled. Help us to die to self so that we truly can live in your promises and in daily walk with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we go from here and each day of our lives. We thank you in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.